Ladies and gentlemen, the red or the blue pill, the choice is yours.
Welcome to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Your host, Peace Award-winning researcher Ole Damigod. To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe.
I'm here today with my beautiful new friend, Mark Bajewski, who in these times of fear and darkness for many people are one of the people really shining. And I feel that since we're being in a position where a lot of challenges are put our way, we need to gather strength together. And Mark is one person who is doing that in a fantastic and very beautiful way, and then also empowering way for many, many people. So I'm very honored to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. The honor is all mine, and to be able to just spread a little light, whether it's just to one person or 1,000, it makes no difference to me. It's all as beautiful as it should be. So yeah, it's a great honor to be here today and finally meeting you again.
I totally agree with you. I'm like, when I go speaking, it doesn't matter if there's one person or 4,000, if I can reach one, mission complete. But the more the better, of course. And we just found out that you're a sandwich mixto and I'm a cafe au lait when it comes to backgrounds and so on. So
because perfect mix.
Perfect mix. I prefer my sandwich mixto, caliente, a little hot, and the same with a cafe au lait. But listen, Mark, would you mind telling our listeners a little about a bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to this position you are in now?
Yeah, sure. I think to begin with, I always like to state that just as any of you guys are out there, just a normal guy as a young kid playing football and enjoying himself from day to day, having parents, a loving mother and a very difficult father, but just getting on with life as a child. My main heart energy was always to give. I've always had that. And I often say to people, I look back in my life and always remember that when going to Poland on holiday for 6 weeks with my father and mother, the most special moment for me was bringing Polish sweets back and running out of the VW camper van that we had and running to my friends and giving sweets to all of them. That was the highlight of my holiday. So I look at that little action and it always reminds me of who I am as a heart. I prefer to give than to receive. And a lot of you out there probably understand that. It is one of the hardest challenges in life to receive. And I say this many times, even now being a healer and understanding this, that I turn away vast amounts of money given to me to do good because I don't want it, I don't believe that I need it, and that I struggle with receiving. And as a kid, I grew up and with many different kinds of friends who would scratch cars and enjoy it. And I would say, why did you just scratch that car? And they would say, because it gave me great adrenaline and excitement. And I could never understand that. And I grew up with friends who liked to fight each other. And I could never understand that. Why would you want to hurt a friend? I understand if it's somebody else who causes you grief and problems and you want to, you know, do it, then that kind of like understand that a little bit, but I don't understand why you want to hurt each other if you're friends. So my life has always been questioning about the way people behave and why they behave. One day I was playing football and I was crossing the road and just about halfway in the middle of the road, and I saw a car coming towards me and I froze like you do. And at that moment, I knew I was going to be hit and probably not be here. And when anybody is in that situation, when you're frozen, you don't really know what to do. You're in this kind of dream energy. And from nowhere, somebody grabbed me from behind and pulled me back. And I flew back and I went to thank the person and there was nobody there. It was a profound moment in my life, but at that age, as a young age, what do you do with that? Well, I mean, it was almost like water off a duck's back. It was profound, but then you let it go as a kid because, you know, your mother and father don't talk about these things. They're, my mother was a Catholic, my father a Catholic. They, this would be deemed as almost demonic, or, you know, if, you know, only the Pope could do that, you know, only the Pope's got a direct line. And this kind of mentality as my parents had. And thus I continued my journey of waking up in the middle of the night, always in petrified, knowing that there was somebody at the bottom of my bed. Didn't know who it was, but I felt so much worry and panic because I had no understanding whatsoever. Obviously today I do. But as life continues, you grow up and those things disappear and you kind of get on with life. And then I basically spent the rest of my life up to 38 years old just working very hard. I've done many things. People would call me an entrepreneur, but I wouldn't say I was, because an entrepreneur to me is somebody who makes millions in my head. But I was somebody who had many businesses. And the only focus in my life at that moment was to make sure that all the staff got paid. Which was successful in that sense. I helped everybody have food for their children on their table and looked after people. But they came to a point in my life that I realized that all I was doing was working, and I was a slave to money. I was a slave to debt. I was always in debt with the bank. I was always worried. I was always fearful for my next bill that came through. I was always worried about the tax man coming to assess me like he did two or three times. It was actually quite an awful point of my life that I look back now and say, wow, did I really cope with all of that pain and suffering? But I did. But the problem with that is that the pain and suffering causes great illness. And we don't realize this, but I try and share this with people, that the system that we live in is geared up, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, is geared up to steal your power and to make you ill. It wants you to be ill. It wants you to fear. It wants you to go to the doctors and to the pharmaceutical industry and take. So it's a kind of fear system that we live in that is geared up to make us poorly. And it is not geared up to make us find out who we are, make us strong enough to believe that there's more to life than eating, drinking, sleeping and working, which one day I did. One day I gave up everything and left it all behind, and got into a transit van with my wife, Susie, my daughter, China, and my two schnauzers. And I had 5,000 euros-ish in my pocket, and we drove through France, and we came up to a little village top in Spain called Mijas Pueblo. And thus I changed my life, because at that moment I left everything behind and I started a new journey of what can only be described as deep spirituality and awakening.
Wow. It's really interesting to hear. There's so many similar stories, even though they're different, of how you go through different stages in life, and how I often call childhood like boot camp, with a very dominant parent giving you absolute hell, but also building your spiritual muscles and to some extent your physical muscles as well. And to be able to stand oppression and people controlling you and oppressing you, and then it comes to a point where you think you're going the right way. You are the way that you walk, the way you're supposed to do, work, family, marriage, all of these things, but you end up feeling awful and in fear. And this is just like you say, exactly, in my humble opinion, how this system is geared to get us into this locked down position where you cannot move, and where it's only a matter of circling, walking around like in a roundabout, doing the same, and being told you're free. But that is not where true power lies. And I'm really looking forward to hear your continuation of this story.
Well, yeah. Interestingly enough, as you describe, I completely agree. And you know what fascinates me? On my wall, I have a saying by the Dalai Lama, and it says the true meaning of life. And basically, it says, it starts at the beginning, we're only here between 90 and 100 years, no more. And what fascinates me is that very statement makes us believe that this is true, yet we have just found out only a few days ago that there is a man who is alive, and people claim that he's over 250 years old. They asked the reason how he could live so long, and apparently they look back on records and see that he's at least 200 years old, because they've seen some records about this man. And they said the way he lives a long life is to be peaceful, quiet, walk around slowly and not rush, and be free from all the fear. And also what he eats is light food. So we kind of realize that there are exceptions to our lifespan. And I believe that the way the system gears up is that it deliberately makes us kind of become ill quicker, and it doesn't want us to find the peace. Yes, of course we are awakening now. There are pockets here and there that are realizing that meditation is very important. So now it's been introduced worldwide into schools, which is fantastic. And even here in Mijas Pueblo, at one point my daughter came home and she said, "Dad," I said, "What?" "We did what you do." And I said, "What did you do?"
"Voodoo." "We
have a new teacher." I said, "Yes, and what happened?" "We placed our hands on our friend's head and started sending good positive energy." And she said, and the girl said, "It worked." And the boy who bullies everybody didn't bully anybody that day. And I said, "Wow." Anyway, that teacher soon left, unfortunately. They got rid of her. But there is light and dark in everything. And I believe the light workers in this world will always be challenged. And the stronger your light is, the more you will be challenged in many different ways. This is something that I like to try and help people with, because when you start to awaken your light, the darkness takes notice of that and it becomes very fearful. And what that actually means is that you say no and you start to question. And when that happens, I say they will do anything they can to stop you, which means that what happens is it's a natural energy. When you awaken to what's going on out there and you know it's wrong, you start to speak up, you start to speak your truth, and you then enter onto what's called a platform of light. And that platform of light, what happens is the darkness is very clever. This entity, this energy that surrounds us, takes notice, and then what it does is manipulates people who are in the fear energy. And what it does then is then you are attacked by even your closest family and friends. When you realize that this is just a big game and it isn't your family and friends who is attacking you, you become stronger and you realize actually that isn't them. What's happening is they've been attacked themselves by this entity or energy or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you call it, but it is definitely not the person who you think is attacking you. It is a persuasion or a push of energy, of anger and fear that is directed at you to try and stop all the light workers. And I share this every day. Don't you let these people affect you. Don't you, because it isn't them. It is an energy of fear. And this is why I'm saying there's more people being attacked now, which is great, because that really is saying something amazing to me.
It's like in the areas where I am, exposing these dark forces in the form of assassinations or state-sponsored terrorism, false flag operations, these type of things, it is very, very obvious because people are, you know, I've had death threats and these type of things. I've had people killed around me. But when I receive threats, which is not very often, I take it as a compliment. I take it as almost like a certificate that you are on the right track, because that's just the way it is. It's like, for me, that what gives me peace is, for one thing, if I die, I die. I will die proud and happy and in joy and hopefully in forgiveness. If I'm getting killed, that I can forgive the person who does it while it's happening. I hope so. But I will feel fulfilled and happy. And I've been in situations where I've had to make that decision where it's been very close to me that it could happen. But this peace that comes once you accept it is beautiful. And it also, what I feel is, the more I fill myself with gratitude and love and non-judgment and non-hate, non-aggression, no violence, the higher my spirit lifts. It's almost like I inflate and they can only shoot on a lower level. So they can't really get hold of me. And I see this in other people as well. And I just feel it's really important to understand the game in this matrix, see the illusion, so that we can transcend this crap, because it's no fun. We've had enough of this. At least I've had. It's enough. People say, well, yeah, but wouldn't it be boring if everything was just wonderful? Absolutely not. It would be super wonderful. I would love it.
I absolutely agree. I mean, you are finding now, we're all finding that what's happening at this moment is a massive shift of energy. And that shift of energy, sorry about the noise outside.
It's interfering.
In Spain, they love the horn. They're so beautiful people that get behind the wheel of the car and beep, beep. And in Thailand was really interesting, because in Thailand they use the horn, but they use it in a different manner. Mm. They use it to say, hey, I'm here. And it's really interesting how different cultures use the horn.
But Mark, don't you think it's interesting with this car interfering here now? Because it's actually not the car interfering.
Well said.
It's somebody. Well said. It's an energy inside it honking the horn.
Absolutely. 110% accurate. But like you said, what's really interesting to me is that what I try and share with people is that whenever this energy, this low energy vibration kicks in, we must not react. So whatever the situation is, whether it's emotional pain and suffering from whatever you're going through, whatever it, or somebody else is sharing with you, or whether it's an attack, what you have to do is be the stronger. So you've got two choices. Your first choice is to lower yourself down to that very person who's in a really painful situation, or a really angry or fearful situation. Or you can rise above it and be stronger than that very energy. So this is what I try and share with people every day. The real power within you is to always be stronger than any given fear situation in your life. Thus, you change your life instantly, and you change everything through the, I call, the tests and the challenges that always come your way. So you can knee-jerk and you can scream and shout back, and you can realize that was a waste of energy. But that's how we learn. That's how we progress. So you can either be in that energy for the rest of your life, or you can stand back and say, you know what? That didn't help anything. And being in fear doesn't cure, doesn't heal, and doesn't make anything better. Yet if you rise above it and become your own guru, then you shine a light that then others see that and then feel like, this is protection, this is love, this is how I would like to be, so how do I do it? Thus they open up to the light. The door is open, and now they start to seek enlightenment, and that's how it works. So we have to be stronger than fear itself at any given moment.
You know, the word guru, it means the remover of darkness. And I think it's a beautiful thing, because that's exactly it. And the thing is, in Raja Yoga, in this old 5,000-year-old philosophy. It's not a religion, it's a philosophy and a handbook, a manual more or less on how to deal with life and all of these different areas. There's one thing that I really love. It's called the four keys. There's four head keys on how to deal with different people in different tricky situations. And one of them is disregard the wicked. Disregard the wicked. And it can easily be misunderstood to say, bend over and accept everything and just be weak. But that is not what it says.
I don't think it means that.
No, exactly. What I think it's, I've noticed in my, because I'm, my life has been like an experiment going through many different experiences and dealing with different like invasions and of people controlling forces that have been trying to push me down and stop me and whatever. But what I noticed is it's like a tug of war with some people, and they throw out the rope. But if you pick it up, you've lost. You will lose. But if you just leave it, the power leaves them. And I think that is what it means with disregard the wicked. Do not give it power, at least not in your mentality, in your mental health. Deal with the situation, but don't let fear get into it. Do not let their aggression get into you. Deal with it, but in a peaceful way.
I kind of agree with that, but the way we talk about deal with it is very personal to everybody's path and level of understanding. So at one time I would hold on, how I would deal with it is try and figure out why this person was doing it. And that happened for many years of my life. Then I came to a point when I thought, okay, now I'm going to suffer their pain. And then I started feeling their pain and feeling weak and angry. And so then I was in that energy. And then I've moved on from there and said, you know what? I've tried to understand it. I tried to feel it. And now I realize that they were both an absolute waste of my time and energy. So now what I do is say goodbye with love. Bye. But I do not waste a single moment on anybody who is angry, fearful, bitter, jealous, demanding, forceful. Never will I stand by anybody like that, but I will send them love because I have to respect their journey, because like me, I was just like that 10 years ago, 11 years ago. So who am I to preach? You know, it's like the people who smoke and stop smoking. They're the worst people to complain about people who smoke. So for me, I just let people live and let them be. However, my door is always open when somebody wants a helping hand, and I know it's not forced. It's just, Mark, I'm really struggling in life. Is there any chance you can help me? Thus, you are now ready to be part of their journey and help them with what little you know in life to be able to support them. So it's not, because this is where the clever the cleverness of darkness comes in. It always manipulates you to make you think that you are selfish and bad because you turn away, and you should be there to feel and to, because you wouldn't have a heart otherwise if you didn't feel. No, actually, that's a load of nonsense. Yes, I feel it, I accept it, but I am not playing that game. So I'm not picking a tennis racket up and playing with you. I dropped my bat a long time ago, and I say goodbye with love. And that's how you make a difference in the world, because you stand true in your own energy without thinking or feeling or being part of somebody else's weaknesses. When somebody's loving and kind and caring, they're going to come to you with that love, that kindness, and they're going to accept you because they're not going to judge you because they're kind, caring, and loving. Therefore, you surround yourself with people like that, and the people who are angry, bitter, you say goodbye, and what you're doing is you're strengthening your whole energy and your life, and you're strengthening your world by saying, actually, guys, you're telling me that your life is filled with pain and suffering, but I'm telling you, it isn't. You can change it. And this is how we do it. So I say, surround yourself with beautiful people who love you for who you are, so you can love them back for who they are without judgment.
So can I ask you, Mark, if you see injustices or somebody beating up, kicking a dog or beating up their wife or something like that. How do you react in a situation like that? Or how do you, maybe not react, but how do you act in a...
Well, my dear friend, I don't read books because I've got dyslexia and I have a mind span of about a fish. So my memory is not good. So all I can tell you is my experiences in life, which I share with my clients. That's all I can tell you about. If I don't know, I'll hold my hands up. There was a day that I went to see Babaji in Spain and Gurinder Singh. And Gurinder Singh at that moment was talking about karma. So karma was an interesting thing and I listened to it and it was very interesting and I left. And Gurinder Singh believes that karma is part of every single moment of our life. So, funnily enough, what happened then was I came out of my my shop in the village and I walked down the stairs to witness a man hitting his partner, this woman. So I stopped for a moment and recalled the thoughts of Gurinder Singh saying everything is karma. So I stopped there and thought, okay, so what is karma at this given moment? Why is my eyes watching these two people? And why is this man hitting this woman? Am I here to observe it or am I here to interfere with it? Because surely if karma is everything, then this woman deserves her karma because of whatever. And maybe I shouldn't interfere with this karma. But then I thought, you know what? That's wrong. So I went down and I got hold of him and I pushed him aside without hurting him and saying, no, please, this is wrong. Please don't hurt this person. And at that point, the woman smashed me in the back of the head and they both started fighting me. So I ask you, where was karma in that situation? In my belief, my dear friend, I only know what I feel is right and wrong. If I see injustice, I will do what I can to stop it, but I will not do it with anger to fight back and hurt. I will try and stop it at any given moment. That is what I see. If I see injustice outside in the world, I will speak my truth to try and help people understand what I see. At school, I used to speak out as a child. I used to say, but why? And isn't this, and what about this? And why do I have to hold my hand up to go to the toilet? I walked out to the toilet and the teacher said, what are you doing? I'm saying, I'm going to the toilet. You need to ask. I said, why do I need to ask? I'm just going to go to the toilet and come back again. I questioned everything and thought, I used to use my own mind and I used to get into trouble all the time, but I was true to what I felt was right. I wasn't pushed. I wasn't being told what to do. I did what I felt was right. And I knew at school I was in a prison. Oh, okay, there weren't bars anywhere, but it felt like prison every day because I knew that this wasn't helping my journey as far as I knew. I had something to offer, but I was limited to being able to give anything because I was being force-fed all this information that to me didn't make sense. So I've always questioned and I've always said, this is right and this is wrong. But in truth, there is no right and wrong when you step out of the big picture. Everything is as it is. The man hitting the woman was what it was meant to be. But was I there? Of course I was there. I was there for a reason. So I walked down and listened to my heart and did what I did. So if I see anybody doing anything that I feel is wrong, I will do my best to not interfere, but to try and resolve as best as I can without being in that very energy. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Can I tell you a thing? I since I push myself into areas that can be physically painful at times, yet I've never been hurt. But I am in a minefield because I'm exposing like assassins and these type of things, and it's not very popular. But my experience, for instance, when I've been, I try to go on location right after or before to try and stop false flag terror and so on. If I get indications that it's going to happen in one location, I try to go there and stop it before it happens. By diffusing it, just aim the light into these areas, because I would say all types of criminality can only continue in the dark. We aim the light at it, it stops. It's like cockroaches, they will disappear, even though it's really not kind to say that about cockroaches. But with criminals, that's the way it is.
You're saying something really interesting there, and it really sparks a great light. Do you know what makes you so special, my dear friend? That you understand how it works, but do you understand why the dark sometimes gets away with what it does? Because most people keep their head down and they don't see what's going on around them. They're not awakened to that. They just get on with their life. They go from A to B without thinking where they are in between. They don't see anything. They don't stop. They don't observe anymore. And they are fearful of everything. Therefore, the darkness gets away with a lot more. But if more people are like you, shine their light. And for instance, if you're at a bar having a drink and you see two people having just about to have a fight or an argument, if you can intervene with love and or maybe just say to the barman, these two maybe possibly are going to start a fight, do you want to just keep an eye out? This is what we call community helping, giving, loving. And we've lost that community spirit, that community protection for one another and love, yet it is so there. It is so around us, and it's so powerful. We can change that switch if we stop watching TV and media and telling us that we should be fearful and lock our doors and the only place we're safe is at home and just be careful. We have to become one again. So that's a really interesting observation of yours, and it's a beautiful one. It's a beautiful one. I love that.
But what I've done a couple of times, so far so good, is, for instance, I've been approached by armed military or police that have been trying to get rid of me because they have been part of the operation. So there's been an aggression behind them. And so a couple of times I've been approached by somebody in uniform, lots of guns and, you know, all of these type of things, who have been screaming at me. And what I focused on was, because I know if I go into fear, the chances of me getting hurt or this body getting hurt is a lot bigger than if I keep calm, and I don't like pain. So what I've done is I turn down the volume so I can't hear the words, and then I focus on love. I keep my mind focused by saying the word that works for me is I look at this person and just say, divine, divine, divine. He's somebody's son. He's somebody's father. He's somebody's father or she. He doesn't know what he's doing. He
compassion. You're sending compassion.
And what if I can keep my mind there, not getting it off, because if I don't repeat the word, I will go into fear because I'm scared. But if I keep repeating that and not get into defense or attack or fear, but just stand there, it gets very confusing for the other one, because they are like, don't you see how dangerous I am? Why don't you become fearful? Why are you not bending over? Why are you not down on your knees? And the thing is, it's not a matter of courage. It's a matter of mind control, I would say, to focus your mind and keep it in love. And the magic that happens, I'm addicted to these situations, I love them. It's like when I look into these dark eyes of this very aggressive person, there's no light. I can't see the light. But if I focus, instead of listening to the words, I focus to look for that spark, and suddenly, boom, it's there. And boom, I can see it. You know, you can almost feel it, the impact of it. And then within 30 seconds or something like that, the aggression has left the area. And within 5-10 minutes, the guy is standing there talking about I had problems with my wife, or, you know, and then I get several times I've been given their business card, you know, with a phone number saying, you know, if you ever need help or anything here, here's my card, and I'm like, listen, you know, like, I don't want to remind him, but 5 minutes before you wanted to kick my head in, you know, and now, and I believe that this is so much bigger than the two of us, these two individuals in this meeting, because I don't think that his power game will work from that moment on, because something has happened inside him.
Exactly.
That it's
some people call it mind control as well.
Yeah, but it's been diffused.
Diffused it through your own energy and your life. Absolutely. I mean, this happens around us all the time. Even with me, before I came on this spiritual path, I was on national television in front of 11 million people. And I don't know if you know much about television, but it's all kind of like a game and it's a show. So after 3 or 4 days filming me, they took 2 minutes and made me out to be really bad. So I spent 8 years being called a rat. So I've suffered a lot from what's called mainstream television and the game that they play. And through all of this energy of this attack, you become stronger as well. So what kind of like happened is there were moments where there'd be 2 or 3 guys wanting to hurt me. And for some reason, they were stood there ready to give me a beating. And then I'd go into compassion mode and say, you know, I wouldn't want to hurt you. I wouldn't want to, you know, why do you want to hurt me? I've not done anything at all to hurt you. You know, you're my brother. Why would you want to hurt me? You know, I've never, you know, I have respect for you as a brother. And I eliminate that anger instantly and it disappears. Whatever comes out of my mouth, I don't know what I've said, but it dispels it and then there's no beating. So I believe that through compassion, we can change anger, we can change fear, and we can bring back the true source that is within everybody's heart, which you did. And all of the anger and fear and the rage is all because of how we are brought up in this world, how we conform to everything. So we have the frustration, the fear, the worry about our partners because we're not getting on, and this kicks in, and this is the manipulation of the dark. Everything that we do, the dark tries to manipulate us. So then it builds up, so it becomes such a powerful energy that the dark says, now I've got this person and I can do whatever I want with them and I can manipulate them. And thus what you did was become stronger than that energy. You become more powerful, that energy, and you would not allow that energy to affect you. Therefore, you became a lighthouse. And that person saw that and knows deep inside that your energy is truly how they want to feel. And that's when they open up and share the things with you, like, thank you for that. I've got such a problem at the moment. Everything's going wrong. And when you realize that, you know that the person that you're talking to who's screaming at you doesn't really mean it. It's just an effect of what their life is at that given moment. And when you realize that, you can dispel it, and you do not go into a personal energy mode, that you take it as a personal attack. It never is. Nothing's personal unless you believe it is.
Mm. Do you know the native Indians, they were talking a lot about the power, medicine, good medicine and powerful medicine and so on. And very often it was before battle and so on that they had their medicine that would keep them invincible or not. I mean, many tribes weren't even into real fighting. They were there to collect coups, just show how great they were, how brave they were, and these types, not really to hurt each other, just to show the courage and sort of like. But, and I think it's that what they were talking about is like this mindset that where you just go into this, the space, I don't know what's the zone. I think have you seen the Dances with Wolves?
In fact, you're talking about Dances with Wolves. When I was on national television, that was one of the things I talked about.
Wow. No, because they're right in the beginning of the film where he thinks that he's lost his leg. He thinks everything is over, and he gets up on the horse and he rides, and he doesn't attack. He rides along the enemy line.
Exactly.
And he just totally surrenders himself.
Exactly.
And that is where you become invincible. Where
that's when the darkness can't attack you. That's when the system can't hurt you. Do you know the most powerful thing that I realized in the world when you are up against the banking system? When you walk in that door and say, do you know what? I don't care. Do what you want. That frightens the life out of banks because they have no more control over you.
And in the area where I am, the banks are sort of the head of the snake. So it's really interesting.
Of course, yeah. They're banks are all wars are bank wars. We know that. Everything is these. All paths lead to banks, or the people who are in control of the banks, the families that are. We're all awakening to this now, and I look up every day and say, the day that we change this world to energy exchange rather than the green note that we're a slave to, is the day that mankind becomes truly powerful within themselves. But until that time comes, there's going to be fear, fear, fear.
But listen to the word also, mankind. It doesn't say man evil or man domination. It says mankind. And gentleman, it says gentleman. It doesn't say weak man or dominating man. These are really powerful, beautiful words that we should take and integrate in us, I think.
For sure. Absolutely. There is so much manipulation by the darkness that they've taken beautiful words and turned them into nothing. They make it nothingness. If the darkness sees fear over something that may be something that causes fear to dispel, the darkness cleverly changes it. So one word, for instance, I like to always put people to let them see, and it's the word placebo. And what the darkness realized, that placebo is a very scary word, because what it is it's self-healing. That's what, if you take that word away, basically you self-heal. And darkness doesn't like that. It doesn't want you to stand in your power and self-heal. The darkness wants you to fear. So what the darkness did through the manipulation of people, they said, ah, placebo, what a joke, what a laugh, what a waste. Oh, these people are crazy. That's the placebo effect. But actually, it's a very special word. What it's saying is that you take a pill, a tablet, which is made of sugar or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you heal yourself. That's because you healed yourself, because your belief in whatever it may be, whether it's a tablet, whether it's a cross, whether it's going into water, whatever it is, you healed yourself through your own belief. And that is what scares the daylights out of the darkness. It does not want you to self-heal. It wants you to fear and run towards pharmaceutical products and take everything you can, and thus you become even more ill, as far as I'm concerned. So self-healing is the most powerful thing that we all have, which the darkness tries to dispel and basically mock by using the word placebo.
I think whatever disease, what we should focus on is just the body's own power to heal and strengthen that, because the immune system, when you look at that, it is a magic making. You're just sitting in awe of how this is possible. So there's no need for that outer crap type of thing, as long as we keep ourselves in balance, and so that the immune system has the possibility to kick in when it's needed. That's all it takes.
It is, and fear in itself, is that what causes the immune system and the body's energy to not function properly? So, like I said, when you live in the system, when you work in the system, when you're part of the system, it deliberately brings in fear into your mind. Remember what I said about the worry and fear that I had every day working when I was younger? And I was having to pay the bills and worrying about everything. This is a very clever manipulation. This is why when I stepped out of that and said, no more, I walked away from it. Then my life changed and my illness disappeared. I had two illnesses, but they've gone. So I know that fear causes body to become ill. And that's one of the biggest things that really needs to be shifted from you. So when I'm doing a healing session, most of the time I'm around your head because I'm burning away the fear and the worry. So when you get up and you say, wow, I feel lighter. And you feel lighter because we've burned away the heaviness of the fear. So this is what we need to do. We need to lighten our body. We need to clear the fear from our body. Thus, we then have a most amazing awakening. And we live in peace. We live in harmony. We live in balance. But most people, unfortunately, are stuck in the system. So we are trying to waken them out. But you know when you have like very wealthy people who come here, you know, I say to them, you know, if you were asked to give up all your wealth, how would you feel? They're in fear instantly. They feel that fear of panic. And so it's going to be difficult to clear that away because they've been so consumed by, we need to make money. I need to be rich. We need to clear that away. And we need to look at more balance. We need to have more equality with everybody. So there's always going to be that shift between the fear and trying to clear that. And there's a great book that a friend of mine was speaking about not so long ago, and it's called The Monk That Sold His Ferrari. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently this guy was a millionaire and got rid of everything and found his true richness with some robes. You know, it depends how you look at life. I look at life now, where at one time I used to look at success as being on TV because I wanted to go on. What a great experience that was for 8 years of suffering, of going through the pain and being called everything and being called a rat. What a brilliant lesson. And that's, I love to always say, be careful for what you wish for. So I don't wish for anything. What I do is live from day to day, and whatever is brought into my life is an acceptance of that given moment, rather than wanting to be here, wanting to do that, wanting to be successful, wanting this to work, because that is a slippery slope. And you can only have either fear or happiness through it. But I don't want to, I just want to live a happy, peaceful, balanced life. So I don't expect anything from anything or anybody from day to day, because that expectation caused me so much pain. I expected this, I expected that. And you know what? It's out of your control. Leave it be. It will all be as it should be. And all of a sudden, the pressure takes the pressure away. And the judgment, all of a sudden the judgment goes, because you're not expecting anything. And anything that comes in which is beautiful is an added bonus. But do you know what? Why don't I just work on my happiness? Why don't I work on me without feeling selfish? That's when your light starts to work, when you start to look at yourself and work on yourself. So I think that's a really important time. I mean, the days now are nearly gone of takeaway spirituality. Fix me. You said you're a healer. Here, take my liver. Fix me. Come on. Come on, fix me. All that's going now. People are realizing that you can't be fixed. There's no such thing as a quick fix. I need to look at myself to heal myself. And people are awakening to that, which means they're taking responsibility, which means that they are starting to awaken their truth, their light, and their healing. Thus, they become the guru. And that's what we all need to do. We need to realize that every single soul on this planet has the capability and the strength and the light to be a guru. So be your guru. Don't look for it outside. Be who you were born to be. Remember who you are. Be that light and never doubt yourself.
Has worrying ever solved anything?
Not in my situation. So I gave up worrying a long time ago. I sat with a lovely lady once from Ireland, and I was panicking up here, and I'm sweating, and I've got my phone in my hand, and she said, "What's wrong with you, dear?" I said, "I'm really worried." She says, "Why is that?" I says, "Because my wife hasn't contacted me in a few hours, and I'm just worried about my wife and my daughter." And she says, "Don't put the doubt out there." And I went, "Sorry?" She said, "Don't put the doubt out there." And I stopped. Don't put the doubt out there. She's blooming right. I'm doubting and worrying and fearing, and I don't know why, but at that moment I thought, that's it. I am not going to doubt and put it out there. We talked for about a few minutes, and my phone went, I'm really sorry, Mark, my phone went dead. I've just managed to recharge it. And I said, oh, look, she said, you see? And I went, you're absolutely right. And from that moment on, every time my mind tried to kick in with fear and doubt, I said, don't put the doubt out there. and I'd stop it. And I realized that it's only a mechanism of your heart becoming stronger than your mind, because my mind was stronger than my heart. So my mind was always functioning on the energy of worry and fear and what if. And then you realize that all of this is just a waste of energy, because actually nothing ever happens what your mind says it does. Your mind is sometimes a very powerful tool that can cause us a lot of issue. So now my main focus is tell your mind to shut up. And then once it shuts up, your heart kicks in, and then you live in trust, you live in harmony, and you live in balance, and all of a sudden everything becomes more beautiful. Everything becomes more heightened. Everything becomes more lighter because you're living in the heart. And people say, what do you mean living in your heart? It's simple. You use your mind for when you cross the road and look left and right. You use your mind for when you wake up and have your breakfast and put your clothes on and look and read a book and sign the contract of whatever it is. But you don't use your mind for fears, worries, what ifs, your future. That is not what the mind is made for. That your heart deals with all of that. So this is why we often say live in your heart and not your mind. So there's a huge, huge important message that your mind is a beautiful tool but needs to be used in the right way. That's all.
Hallelujah, baby, to that. It really is like that. I think it's so simple in certain ways. It's so complicated and yet so simple.
Exactly. Now you've just said it, because most people take a complicated situation, most people take a simple situation and try to make it complicated because they think that the answers to life are complicated. But then when you actually look at it, everything that's complicated is absolutely very simple. Yeah?
The way I see it is, if the more often in your choices, I mean, I think we have choices in every second and every minute of our life and so on. The more often you choose love instead of fear, the better your life will be. It's super simple. You just let that choice be there. And what I try to do is sometimes when, if I look at myself or other people ask my advice about their life, to change the whole life in one go, it's too much. So you need to sort of, I split up my day. For instance, I speak to you. I see that as a chapter. I try to be loving in this situation, not fearful. I get a phone call. That's the next chapter. I try to be loving and also with the intention of something good coming out of that phone call for both or all involved. I go out to the car. I close the door with love. I don't slam it. I say hello to the cat with love. I try to see the cat. I try to smell, feel the air I breathe. I try to drive without hitting someone. I try to drive lovingly, even though sometimes I drive fast, but that doesn't mean that I'm brutal in my way of forcing my way forward. It's just, I think it can be maybe a help to split it up, to take it in smaller parts, because otherwise it's too overwhelming. And if you are in a situation where you lost yourself, sort of or lost track of yourself, and you need to find your way back, it's the same thing. The quick fix, it doesn't work like that. You need to one step at a time. And sometimes I look at a building with what do you call it? The building blocks. All of them are needed. Mm-hmm. It took all of them together to create this building. If one is missing, especially at the bottom, the whole thing can crack. And so everything, many times it looks like it's, well, there's no importance here, there's no importance there, but it is.
Yes, everything is as it should be. Where we are right now is where we're meant to be, and where we're going to is exactly where we're taken. Everything is as it should be, and my feeling about life is that everything that you've been through is exactly as it was meant to be. I don't believe that there's a wrong part of it, because any painful situation makes you stronger and makes that building block even more powerful. So everything to me, when you come to me, there is no, oh, you shouldn't have done that. It is just as it should be. And we should respect everybody's path. And this goes for children, our children. We shouldn't push or interfere unless your child needs help. You know, your child is here to experience. Thus, you are here to experience your child in that sense. So I think everything has a positive and a negative attachment to our journey. So I try not to judge any given situation. I try to just let it be. And, you know, right when I'm walking on the street, I try to live in that moment of each footstep. So sometimes I'll stop deliberately and just look around, because if we don't do that, we miss all the signs that our great universe, our Mother Nature, our whatever you want to call it, gives us, this higher force. And it's there all the time. It's around us. We can tune into that at any given moment. We can be that power. We can be that channel. We can be that light if we choose to accept that. This is why we say, go into Mother Nature, find your stillness, be you or be with you. Because that is when you really become friends with yourself. And once you start to accept everything in your life as it is, then you become part of what I consider to be the higher vibration. Mother Nature then connects with you. So find a tree, sit down for a while, rest yourself, rest your mind, and all of a sudden you find your inner power. Lie down on Mother Nature, let her heal you. There's so much we can do to help ourselves. We can eat natural food that's been given to us by Mother Nature. We can spend time in this peace energy, and thus you become really, really stronger. And then you start to see, wow, what's going on out there is really crazy. I mean, I was in Germany a few weeks ago, and it's got to the stage where I'm working in Germany. I walked outside and I came to this big, massive dual carriageway, and the lights for people to walk across, pedestrians, were on red. And I looked left and right, and there must have been no cars for at least a mile. And there was about 40 people stood there because the light was red. And they looked at me as if I was crazy, because I walked across the road when the light was on red. And I just thought to myself, how easily led are we to just be controlled by a system? And it's the little things that I see. Why? Because I've become more observant. I am not in the system. I'm not in that fear energy that I have to cross the road because there's a zebra crossing. Well, you know, it's true. Why should we cross the road when there's a zebra crossing there? You can cross the road anywhere as long as you use your mind and look left and right and know it's clear. You know, for me, I don't conform. And because of that, many people say that, you know, I'm a rebel. I'm not a rebel. I'm just listening to my own heart. And my argument back to that, which isn't an argument, that says, you want me to obey the law, yet the law allows you to smoke a cigarette that in truth is going to kill you in the end. And they say that's okay. And you want me to obey law because because what they say is okay? No, it's not okay. Yes, you want to smoke a cigarette? You do that. But the law allowing cigarettes to be smoked, knowing what it does to people, and that's legal, and yet cannabis is illegal, knowing how well it put into a certain liquid can heal the body, and they make that illegal. I'm thinking all the time, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. So what I do is I disregard the law and I make my own judgment to life. I don't need the law to tell me what I need to eat, how I need to do this, how I need to work. I disregard it, and now I make my own life because I came into this beautiful world because this is my world. There is no borders. There is no fences. This world is equally mine as it is anybody else, and I will not be told how to behave or how to live. I will not be told that my queen stamps my passport that allows me to go from one place to another. I will not allow that in my life. Therefore, I have become stronger than the fear that is constantly thrown at us day to day. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, Mark. It makes beautiful sense. And it makes it gives us a very big feeling of freedom surrounding it.
Exactly.
Listen, Mark, we've come to the end of the first hour, and I really, really thank you for taking the time. Would you mind sharing contact details with our audience, how they can contact you, support you in what you want to achieve, and, well, whatever?
Well, I only kind of do two things in my life now to keep things fairly simple. And one is www.hearthealingretreat.com. And then the other one is just my website, which is www.markbajerski.com. And that's it. I'm on social media, on Facebook, where I try and help people along their journey. And yeah, that's basically it, really. I don't really know what else to say, but, you know, I believe that people find you anyway. So I do appreciate this, but that the right people find you at any given moment. So I don't kind of publicize myself because I know that there's a higher force at work that always brings people to this academy. And they like knock on the door and they look confused. And I go, yeah, you followed your heart, not your head. I don't know what I'm doing here. Yeah, come and give me a cuddle. That's how it works here. It's beautiful.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much, Mark, and we'll be right back.
Thanks.
To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe. Give yourself the gift of truth and awareness while supporting Ole's hard efforts to get it out there.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.